True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, fans, because today we are chatting all about Queen of Shadows from the Throne of Glass series. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
I am wonderful. This book was a lot.
A lot of exposition.
A lot of exposition, that's for sure. That being said, if you include Assassin's Blade, this would be the fifth book. If the SJM order matters to you at all, and that is your holy grail to go off of, then we are technically on the fifth book. Now that we are more than halfway, what are your initial thoughts on Queen of Shadows and the Throne of Glass series so far?
So as we all know, I read ACOTAR in a matter of weeks, and it changed reading for me. Like, I was in this massive slump, massive, and I found myself getting out of it. With ACOTAR, I was completely hooked. Crescent City then came along, and it took me a grueling pace to get through the first 200 pages, but then I was hooked. Same thing with the second book, dragged my feet through the first 200 pages. But I knew I was going to like it based on the first book. And I kept that energy all throughout Throne of Glass until this book. This book went by slowly for me. And you could tell that it was basically Throne of Glass feels like two separate trilogies. And Queen of Shadows connected the two. If you asked me what Queen of Shadows was about, I couldn't tell you.
I'm going to ask you that in tea, so get
ready.
Oh,
no, I have my notes. But if someone I've had, what's that book about? I'd be like, there's so much information too. It just kind of overwhelmed me a little bit, but I'm excited for the rest of the series. I did pick up the next book. The energy is back. Yes. So I don't know what happened with this fourth book, but that's where I find myself. How about you?
I might be experiencing some SJM or Sarah J. Maas fatigue after Crescent City 3. And that's what I was initially attributing it to until I chatted with you. And I was like, is it a slow start? Or is it, I'm just tired. And I was so hellbent on getting through Crescent City 3 as fast as I could so that we could report on it. But you were like, no, it was a rough read. It was a slow start for me too. And I was like, okay. And I was really dragging my feet. So Queen of Shadows definitely set up the rest of the series. I could see where she was going with it. And I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. I get why you killed off this person. Yay, we're on the right track. And the first 200 pages, per usual, especially with Sarah J. Maas, was slow. But the last 200 pages were on fire. Good job. I wanted to immediately jump into Empire of Storms, which I did. But overall, Queen of Shadows was a giant tease. But you definitely need to read it to understand the rest of the series. But that being said, I wasn't disappointed. But now that we've read the first four, I'm ready to spill some tea. You ready to spill some tea?
Let's spill it.
This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not read Queen of Shadows, we are about to spoil it for you. I know you gave me a heads up about this, but when did the book really take off for you?
I felt like it wasn't until the late 50s, like 58 or even chapter 60, that things started to come together for me. It was that moment when Aiden, Aelin, Rowan, Kale, and Nezrin worked together in the forest to free Lysandra before that meeting between the king and the witches, since, you know, she was taken as prisoner and was being transported to Morath. We find out that Dorian's consciousness is still alive after Manon was able to drive away that Vog prince, basically. But how about you? What was your moment?
So I'm going to say it started to pick up for me around chapter 37, 38, when Lysandra killed Erebin. And I knew that his death was in the cards. I was expecting either Aelin to do it. I was expecting, you know, the next person in line I thought would be Aiden or Rowan. He gave it to Lysandra. And I was here for it. I was like, yeah, let her get her vengeance. Sisterhood, all the way, man. And then I was fully invested after that. That being said, next serious question. Did we figure out what the word keys are? I think we figured it out.
The three word keys. We definitely know the King of Adarlin had found a key in the tomb. And I don't think the Eye of Elena is one.
You don't?
Because it doesn't draw the same type of power as the Amulet of Orinth does. But definitely the first word key was found by the king in Elena's tomb. It was in Elena's sarcophagus, and he used it to free Erwin. The second key is the Amulet of Orinth. And I think we know what the third one is. Third one is going to be the stone that was taken out of Kaltane and basically like what turned her power into Shadowfire. That is definitely the third word key because it also gives off that same type of power with a lead.
Right. And I don't know if you got the same vibe, but Kaltane's Shadowfire kind of like reminded me of Nesta's Silver Flames.
Yes, I didn't even think about that. That's a good connection.
Right? Just minor similarity. And I was like, oh, does she have a piece of the Dread Trove somewhere? Is this word key also made from the cauldron?
Like, oh, dang.
Game changer, right?
My memory is failing me, but like, were they brought over by the Vog Kings? Because we know these keys open up portals.
Right.
They're put together. Oh my gosh.
You game just changer.
Opened, just sent me down a rabbit hole.
I was pretty sure that the Eye of Elena was one of the word keys. And that is what locked Erwin's tomb. And they put the that key in Elena's tomb for safekeeping.
I think the Eye of Elena is the lock.
Okay.
And that it's a tool for the word keys in order to work.
Okay.
But I don't think it's technically a word key itself, if that makes any sense. It's just the last piece of the puzzle.
Okay, so what do you think the first word key is?
The first word key is the thing that the King of Adarlin found in the tomb.
But we don't know what that is.
Exactly. But it's whatever he found in that tomb, in her sarcophagus, is the word key.
Okay, because the way he reacted to Aelin when she waved the fake in front of him, and he knew that that was important. He saw that as his immunity, similar to like the ring, and which made me think it was the word key. So I'm not saying either of us are wrong here.
We both have a kind of the same path, but like we're parallel to each other, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What was your initial reaction when Aelin got the Amulet of Orinth?
Vindication. So Aelin finally puts all the pieces together and realized that Erebin stole the amulet from her when she was a kid. And after reading Assassin's Blade, man, let me tell you, I had some choice words for Erebin.
Right.
Like their whole relationship just creeped me out, but it helped you understand the trauma and the dilemma that Aelin had with Erebin. You know, she obviously confronts him with the assistance of Aiden and Rowan. They outsmart him. They get the amulet back. And when she did, I mentally cheered. She was finally on a semi-even playing field when it came with the King of Adarlin. So she has one. Don't know if the king has one. I think he does, but we don't know. And also, just the outcome of her outsmarting Erebin was epic.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because that was like, what, around chapter 45, 46? When she played dumb and he didn't check the other hand on the Vow commander, I was like, yeah, you deserve this. And that was such a big plot twist. The one thing I wasn't expecting with Aelin getting the word key was her having such a negative reaction to it. The amulet itself, she said, felt wrong to her at first. Like it felt like Valg blood coursing through her veins, just dirty. And I was like, oh, but it's the amulet of your people. Like that hurts my heart. I'm so sorry. Why? Has it been tainted? Like, is there something I'm not catching on to here? Like, help me understand. And I feel like there were more questions that needed to be answered about that I didn't understand. Did you pick up on anything?
I knew that it felt weird to her and she refused to wear it a lot of the time. Like she put it in a drawer, it was in her pocket. But I didn't think anything of it until now.
Oh, okay.
You know, and Lorcan still doesn't know that it's fake, that the one he has is fake, but he can sense the one that Aleed has. Make it make sense.
Okay, so what they did was they grounded up the Valg commander's ring and put it on the fake.
Oh, okay. I totally forgot about that.
Okay, so that's why he felt, quote unquote, felt the magic.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I know something I'm not supposed to know about Aleed and Lorcan. That being said, she's feeling herself being pulled to him, or she knows she's being hunted, you know, or watched. Yeah. And that's what I initially thought was, I was like, oh, she's feeling the magic from Lorcan's stone that's on the fake word key, you know, that's on the amulet. And in return, he's feeling either the pebble that she's supposed to give to Aelin. So I initially thought that, but there could also be a mate bond between the two of them that they're both feeling. All right. Who had the most epic death?
While Erebin's death was dramatic, I'm going to have to give it to Caltaine.
Yeah.
This woman was able to defeat the Valg prince that they have forced into her, pretend it was still alive, went through unimaginable horrors, only to carve out the word key from her body, and then took down like a third of Morath with her.
Boom.
In Shadowfire?
That I do to see that Shadowfire just light up, Morath.
It's definitely giving me Game of Thrones vibes, and I'm here for it.
I'm also on the same page with you here, because I was like, okay, it's a three-way tie between Erebin, the King of Adarlin, and Caltaine. We're going to give it to Lady Caltaine, hands down. She went out with a bang, pun intended. And don't get me wrong, Mannen and Kale came very close to death. And I was like, oh, this could be an end. But I know Kale's got another book. So is this an afterlife book or what am I missing here? Is this like Ghostbusters? Yeah. Biggest plot twist.
Oh, once again, it's going to be Caltaine for me.
Okay.
Especially in those short chapters where it's written in third person, where you find out that she defeated that Valg prince a while ago and she's been playing the part. My jaw dropped when I read that. How about you?
So I had like three big plot twists and I'm going to give it to Caltaine because I don't know how you top that, but Mannen coming in clutch with that message about Dorian was epic. And considering all things, I think that one was the game changer, but also Aelin saving Kale with the Eye of Elena, swapping the fake for the real one and him just accepting death. He bought her time in the end. I want to see this play out on the screen. So bad. Last but not least, who do you think was the real MVP of Queen of Shadows?
I think mine is going to be Lysandra.
Okay.
She came in clutch so many times, from changing into a ghost leopard, killing Erebin. I love her relationship with Aiden. I'm super excited to read more about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's my MVP for sure.
Okay. I do feel it was a team effort and I kept going around in circles. We can say it started with Mannen, who saved Dorian with the message from Aelin. But Dorian saved Adarlin by killing the king. And Kale bought Aelin more time to save Dorian from the king. And then Rowan saved Aelin, Kale, and Dorian from the fall from the Glass Castle. But Lysandra saved Rowan and Aiden from the Valg commanders and Valg army by turning into, was it, a snow leopard and coming in clutch, like you said. So does it start with Mannen or does it start with Lysandra? Was it the chicken or the egg that came first? Like, I don't know. But I mean, it was definitely a team effort. But I just kept going. I was like trying to put this together in my brain. But also Lorcan and Aiden had supporting roles in helping also, because had Lorcan not come back to take out those word hounds, the tower wouldn't have been blown up. And Rowan and Aiden needed help there. But Aiden also stepped in front of Rowan when the Valg army came in. He was like, I got you, brother. And, you know, they have that moment. So I don't know. I'm still debating, but I'm going to say Mannen for right now because they didn't have to save Dorian. Granted, I'm glad they did. But because the cause and effect of not saving Dorian would have ended, like the book series would have ended right there, I think. That being said, Queen of Shadows did not disappoint, especially in the last 200 pages. Definitely a good read. And now it is time for the spotlight of the week.
Are you going to Summer Solstice? Right now, A Court of Salt and Snow and Patricia Bassano are partnering on a giveaway for a hardcover set of Patricia's Fairy Legacy trilogy and two passes to the Summer Solstice Market. For more details, be sure to check out A Court of Salt and Snow on Instagram.
Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her a hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews.
The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast.
We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Sarah J. Maas, Bloomsbury Publishing, Amazon, HBO, or any other media mentioned today. We're just massive fans.
Massive.
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering? That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.